Hello and welcome. I'm Tara, the founder of Raising Resilient Children. I support parents with the tools and skills they need to become the parent they want to be. Using my signature framework, the language of kindness, and parent clues for problem solving, I teach you ways to make parenting easier while fostering connection and building essential life skills for resiliency. As a longtime educator, former preschool owner, and parent, I have been working with parents and children for over 20 years. From this experience, I know there is no cookie-cutter approach to parenting, and information can be overwhelming. Let's tackle some of this by having some important conversations and digging into some different topics. Today, I'm going to take a deep dive into why I wrote a picture book, how it can support you in your parenting, and ultimately, what it can do to help raising resilient children in a way that supports fostering emotional intelligence. There are so many reasons I wanted to create a book like The Adventures of Teen Brain, and there was a lot of research and development that went into creating it. I first learned about the possibilities of using picture books to build skills for feelings and empathy when I was training to be a challenge course manager. Now, I don't know if you know what that is, but picture this. Essentially, it's an obstacle course built on telephone poles, like 40 feet up in the sky, that's created to support taking risks, building skills, fostering social-emotional growth, connecting people in supportive relationships, team leadership development, all kinds of stuff. To be honest, it's a lot of really cool things that I could never do justice to in a single thought. There's also low ropes for those of you who are thinking the height thing is a little bit out there. But to participate in the high ropes course part, you need rock climbing gear, ropes, and harnesses. And it was my role to teach the staff how to rig up the course, do the safety checks, as well as how to facilitate groups. Now, each group that came had specific goals in mind: teamwork, self-development, perseverance, basically you name it. People were coming to test their limits and learn about themselves and each other. It was a really extraordinary experience. Now, in that training workshop to become a leader, the course person pulled out a picture book. And I'm not going to lie, at that time I was like, what are you doing? We are all adults. Why are you using a picture book? Let me also tell you, my mind was blown. And in that moment, I realized the possibilities for using picture books to build skills for all kinds of things. And this was when we didn't have a plethora of amazing picture books like we do now. Now, another key component of this story was before this role, another lifetime ago, I was a high-performance athlete and spent a lot of time cross-training while going to university. My sport of focus was Taekwondo, which was actually my second competitive sport. Soccer, otherwise known as football, was my first. Now, interestingly, growing up, my parents had a rule that I wasn't allowed to compete at a high level in elementary or middle school. They felt having free time and spaces for playdates was more important at that stage. Now, when I think about this as an adult, I am deeply appreciative of this decision on a lot of levels. My generation is the start of what I like to call the invisible Ivy League checklist, the unwritten set of expectations for children to have experiences that will equate to lifelong success, to get into the best schools, get the best jobs, be expert at whatever and all activities that they partake in. I think this approach is super problematic for a lot of reasons, especially on how it's impacting children under the age of 6. I also know that part of the reason some parents enroll their children in a lot of activities is as an effort to get out body energy and avoid the perpetual nagging that comes with children who struggle with being bored. Now, if you've ever heard me speak live or taken a course, you know that one of the things I talk about is how activities for young children isn't often fulfilling their body energy needs because they spend so much time sitting and waiting for their turn. In a lot of cases, it would be better to hit up a park, a playground, or go for a walk, scoot, bike. The truth is, most young children aren't benefiting from structured activities, particularly if they've been spending their day at daycare or kindergarten. Their entire day is structured, and in a lot of cases, there isn't a ton of movement happening. So what children are really missing at the end of the day is unstructured play, and it's negatively impacting their ability to build tools and skills for relationships, as well as social-emotional skills for regulation. A key component of what helps children to be able to show up and handle all their big feelings is having their body needs met. Although sports do support this, it's not until children are developmentally ready for them. if I had to assign an age for when I would sort of introduce this idea, it would be 5-6-ish. It's the place to start introducing extracurricular activities, roughly grade 1 in a lot of places. Now, there's a ton of nuance to this statement, but as a whole, this is the stage where there is a potential for far more engagement in learning the sport or activity and less in figuring out how to keep their little bodies from running away, keeping their hands to themselves, listening. In other words, by that point, they have started to develop some basic regulation skills, and then they can apply those to engaging in the activity and benefiting from it versus a bunch of adults needing to spend a lot of time and sometimes threats getting the children to pay attention, to behave, to do what they're supposed to do, to follow the rules, all those kinds of things. Now, this doesn't mean you don't expose your children to kids and activities. Sorry, to sports and activities, but it doesn't have to be a soccer team to expose your child to soccer. You just need a ball to kick about. It doesn't have to be so formal at such a young age. Now, I'm aware that sports purists aren't on board with this idea and they don't like what I'm saying right now, but sports specialization at a young age is actually showing that it does far more harm than good. As a parent, I also recognize how hard this decision can be, because if you delay putting your children in a multitude of activities early on, they actually age out by like 10 or 11, which I find super problematic. I was recently trying to find a rec level sport for one of my children and was super frustrated that you can't just try it because it was already too late. It was competitive or nothing. 13 should not be too late to try something new or do something at the rec level. Anyhow, another fun byproduct of introducing activities when children are more developmentally ready is that you will be setting yourself up for more successful experiences overall. At that age, when a child can actually engage with the activity, they are more clearly able to determine if they enjoy it. So many parents ask me how long they should push or force their child to do things. And part of the challenge they're facing is that their child is really too young to make a decision. And then you fall into the habit of quitting or forcing kids to do things when maybe they would have enjoyed it or understood it better if they were more developmentally ready to do so. Now, interestingly, extracurricular activities used to have really strict rules about this kind of stuff. When I first started teaching, you could really only join if you were like 5. Anything before that, you weren't able to join. That's that invisible Ivy League checklist I was talking about for life success. It's really made things murky and forced parents into thinking that earlier introduction to activities is essential. I would argue building tools and skills for interpersonal relationships and feelings needs to come before and alongside the introduction of activities, because that's what's missing from the early elementary children and beyond. Kids can function with tons of adult guidance and interaction, but do they do as well in the absence of it? So what does this all have to do with my picture book? Well, sports was a major part of my emotional regulation toolbox. In high school and beyond, I spent a good portion of my non-scholastic time doing sports or training for sports. I loved it deeply. First it was soccer, then taekwondo. I traveled the world, I trained around the clock, I was juggling my academics with my sports needs. I was young, it was amazing, and I'm truly grateful. Until the day my body couldn't do it anymore. And yet I was still pretty young, and in the grand scheme of things, I had seen it happen to so many others and never understood what I was witnessing until it happened to me. The main tool that I had for navigating my feelings was ripped away in an instant. Now, by this point, I had just finished my undergrad and my first master's degree. I had landed myself that super cool summer job working as the challenge course manager, and I had an enormous responsibility of setting up a program from scratch. That's where my entire world came crashing down and was rebuilt simultaneously. So you see, I never achieved my ultimate sports goal of getting to the Olympics or the world events, because those were lofty and nearly impossible. And as a result, when I retired from high performance competition, I felt like a failure. Until I went away for that week of training to become a senior outdoor leader to support my new role. In that space, I learned that my bronze and silver medals were no longer coasters, as I had heard so many times. They were symbols of commitment and dedication. But more importantly, I learned that what sport didn't teach me. Emotional regulation is so much more than letting off steam. It's a system where you need to process your feelings and actively build tools and skills for them. That suppressing your feelings is not always a sign of strength, and that you cannot have only one outlet for them. that we each experience failure differently, but sometimes perspective is what we need. And now for a quick break to tell you about something special. Are you looking for a fun way to introduce emotional regulation and the importance of building tools for your feelings? Introducing The Adventures of Teen Brain, a comic picture book with a playful take on emotional regulation. Your child will become the superhero in their own teen brain story. They will learn how to handle the daily stress storms of life, ways of keeping their emotions brain from evolving into T-Rex level dino brain, and see how fun and important it is to build tools and skills for their feelings. This adventure was playfully brought to life by social-emotional expert and founder of Raising Resilient Children, Tara Grado, and Amazon best-selling cartoonist, Jerome Cabanatan. Find it worldwide on Amazon or head to the show notes to purchase your copy. Now let's get back to the show. After that summer working as a challenge course manager, I headed to work at a private school for a year as a residential don, living and working with 54 teenagers. I can't tell you the amount of things and experience I gained in that role. My mentor was a guidance counselor. One of the coolest things about that was I had the opportunity to share some of my experience running leadership development programs and experiential education activities to support navigating teen challenges. I continued to pursue my qualifications in outdoor education and experiential learning. But here's the thing, what I was actually doing was building my social emotional intelligence and teaching kids how they could too. It just wasn't what that was called yet. From there, I did another degree, the one that shaped what I do today. I think I want to pause here just for a moment to share how truly grateful I am for parents who supported me on this journey and are still my number one supporters. All that I do would not have been possible without them and their support. So, for my master's in education, I looked at how to use literacy to support fostering social-emotional skills and empathy. At that time, I was mostly interested in using it as a way to address bullying, which is now understood as empathy, awareness, diversity, and inclusion. I've woven that particular focus into every single element of my teaching ever since. So let's fast forward a few years. Okay, more like 20. Since then, I've worked in classrooms, administration, guidance, and for 7.5 years, I owned a hybrid outdoor and play-based preschool. From that leadership training seminar where the instructor pulled out a picture book to help us process the workshop, to this day, picture books and literacy have supported absolutely everything that I do. Here's the thing. Picture books take the abstract and make them real and tangible. Whether they are your experiences or someone else's, you can learn what is relevant to you. Now, brain science and emotional regulation, those are pretty abstract for most people. What better way to help children understand them than to create a picture book? I recently saw a post about how we view the mind separate from our body, and this is one of the reasons it's so hard to make the connection for building skills and tools for feelings. I didn't need a research article to tell me this is something that's missing from our understanding of emotional regulation. Just ask kids or try to co-regulate with one when they're pushing back on you. I like to compare emotional regulation to swimming. In order to safely get across a body of water, you need tools and skills. When you are younger, you need quite a bit of adult support. And as you get better and master your skills, you need less. Now here's the big difference. Water is an obvious obstacle. There it is, inviting you to come in and spend more time in it as you build your skills. Your brain, on the other hand, is this unknown entity. The water you need swimming lessons for, only you can't see it, but you need it. The Adventures of Teen Brain is a playful take on the idea that we have different areas of our brain that need to work together. It starts by taking you inside the brain control center where you meet thinking brain, body brain, and emotions brain. Each brain component has some really important responsibilities. But the main message is, when they work together, things go along pretty well. However, emotions brain can have a really hard time with this depending on the types of problems you encounter. Now, when I say problems, I'm talking about everyday things like getting dressed, picking a flavor of ice cream, having to do something hard or uncomfortable. Basically, a problem is the thing that will trigger big feelings. So the story makes the connection between problems as the reason why emotions brain takes over. Now, when emotions brain takes over, it evolves. Think Pokemon for brains. This is where you find yourself in a stress storm, otherwise known as the three Fs: flight, fight, and freeze. This is that swimming lesson, the building skills component. First, we start with the basics and then build out from there. Next, we need to understand our reactions to problems or challenges. What kinds of things do we do on a basic level? Much like a reptile that is feeling threatened. Only our threats don't have to be life or death. That doesn't mean our brain always realizes this. So what we do matters, and how we do, and what does that mean for us? Do you fight back? Do you run away? Do you hide? Do you stop being able to think, right? What are the three Fs that are affecting you? This also means that we need to be aware of what happens when our emotions brain flips to dino brain. And more importantly, what can we do about it? After all, as the story tells us, we are the superheroes in our emotional regulation story. We are the ones in charge of keeping those three brains working together. So this is where my why came from. As growing research and ideas support the idea and importance of building tools and skills for feelings with children, I started to integrate this into my teaching. And then I noticed a couple key things. One, a lot of kids dislike practicing breathing, or many of the tools, actually. And when you don't make it fun and engaging, they're even less likely to do so. And then there's just also this other thing where a lot of children don't like having their feelings labeled for them, or at least we hit a stage where they stop liking that process. We've all been there, where it goes along okay until one day it doesn't, and then it's epic. Don't tell me how I feel. Don't tell me to breathe. Don't. This leaves a ton of parents feeling helpless, and it often triggers their dino brain evolution. I'll leave the whys for another conversation, but today I want to focus on the okay, so what can we do about this piece? One of the things I know is that we have to make building tools and skills fun and engaging, as well as make it meaningful. Take that abstract thing and make it tangible. Swimming lessons for swimming, emotional regulation tools for big feelings. The Adventures of Teen Brain does this, takes that abstract idea of emotional regulation and turns it into a superhero story where you are the one in control. The book is talking to you, the reader. It's helping you understand how emotional regulation works, why you need tools and skills for your feelings. It's also a comic picture book, so it's super fun. The idea is to take the complexity of needing to take control of tricky moments and teach kids practical steps. We need to stop, breathe, think, act. We need to stop when we are overwhelmed, breathe to calm our mind and de-evolve that dino brain. Think about what's happening. Are we hungry, tired, scared, annoyed, need help? And then we need to act on that thought. There are no other picture books like it. I know because I've been trying to find one. If you could see me recording this podcast, you would know that I am surrounded by bookcases full of books, mostly picture books. So at the end of the day, I wrote this book because nobody else had, and it's something we all need. I wanted to make learning about building tools for our feelings fun and engaging for more kids. It's not touchy-feely or fuzzy. Those books are important too. This book is bold and vibrant, colorful and creative. This book empowers kids and their caring adult guides with what they need to show up as the superhero in their emotional regulation story. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to subscribe so you'll be notified when future episodes launch. For information on how to connect with me, head to taragrotto.ca, or you can find me on Instagram at Raising Resilient Children. Until next time, thanks again for listening to the Raising Resilient Children podcast with Tara Grotto.